Welcome to the Fitness Oracle, the podcast where we bring you real conversations with real people just like you, with real stories just like yours. I am your host, John Katsavos. Today, we have a remarkable individual who embodies the essence of resilience, triumph, and personal growth, Avi Wolfson. Avi isn't just a licensed realtor or a professional salesperson. He's a three-time axe-throwing champion, best-selling author, and a beacon of empowerment. But his journey hasn't been paved with ease. Avi's story is one of conquering childhood trauma and mental health battles, a story that underscores the indomitable human spirit. Through his experience, Avi has discovered the power of entrepreneurship, the art of self-discovery, and the secrets to maintaining a harmonious work-life balance. Throughout our conversation, Avi reveals the secrets to succeeding through failure, a concept that challenges conventional wisdom, but has been the cornerstone of his journey. He invites us to embrace vulnerability as a strength, a force that allows us to connect on a deeper level, fostering authentic relationships. Facing and dealing with your bad hand is a theme that Avi explores intimately. He shares insights on how to overcome adversity, transforming hardships into stepping stones to personal growth. Avi's philosophy resonates with a law of correspondence, teaching us that the challenges we face externally often mirror the battles that we grapple with internally. Avi's contagious passion for life isn't just confined to his personal success. He's a strong advocate of paying positivity forward into the universe. By joining us today, you'll glean wisdom from a true visionary, one who believes that failure is not the end, but a stepping stone to success. Critics describe Avi as creative, humble, honest, and smart, with a remarkable knack for empowering individuals to find their footing, happiness, and personal flourishing. Are you ready to ignite your journey towards a healthier, happier you? Join the Fitness Oracle newsletter today and open the door to a world of transformational benefits. As a subscriber, you'll be the first to unlock exclusive episodes, gaining insights before they're released to the public. But that's not all. As a part of our vibrant community, you'll engage in a one-on-one phone call with me where we will align your fitness goals and chart a course for your success. Moreover, you'll gain free access to a private community where we hold engaging community calls, diving deep into episodes and exploring how these lessons translate into real-life victories. But the journey doesn't stop there. As a cherished member of our exclusive community, you'll gain privileged access to our upcoming programs, an exciting opportunity to further elevate your health and wellness journey. Join the Fitness Oracle newsletter today and step into the path of transformation. Let's embark on this incredible voyage together as we harness the wisdom of Avi Wolfson and countless others to shape a future filled with vitality and positivity. Your healthier, happier self awaits. Avi, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, John. Super excited to be here. Really an honor to speak with you.
I'm super excited to speak to you. We got a lot of great stuff to content to cover. But before we do, I just wanted to ask you, how's the axe throwing coming along?
It's a lot of fun. You know, I took a break from it, from the competition, everything, and just doing it in general, you know, so I could focus on speaking. That's required a lot of time and resources for me, but axe throwing is fun. I'm decent at it. It's fun. I get to throw with people I enjoy spending time with. So it's a nice little hobby. And I learned all kinds of things I never knew about axes. And so it's good. You know, they've got some really good rules in place. First, they have a strict no jerk policy, and then second, for complete bodily protection, you have to wear closed toe shoes. And finally, in order to stay sharp and focused while throwing razor sharp axes, you're encouraged to stay hydrated by drinking plenty of
Drink.
alcohol.
Oh, okay. I was going to say drinking water.
Nope.
No.
I mean, there's water too, but I mean, alcohol is the drink of choice there.
I
But
see.
yeah, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it. They have leagues, and they're a lot of fun. And yeah, it's just it's a great sport. It's growing, and I think it actually originated in Canada, is where when that first started catching on, several years ago. Now it's like on ESPN and all different kinds of places. But that's one of my fun hobbies. I enjoy doing a lot of fun.
That's cool. That's cool. Well, we actually do invent quite a bit of stuff. It's just our cousins down south of the border have the resources to blow up the stuff like the basketball was a Canadian invention. Hockey is a derivative of lacrosse, which is
Yes.
from here. So, yeah,
That's
I
cool.
mean.
I didn't know that. That's very cool.
Yeah, without you guys down south or cousins down south of the border, it would just be the Canadian stuff, and that's not a very big market.
It's funny though. I feel like I've connected to a bunch of people. One of my co speaking coaches is from I believe he's in Toronto. The guy that I took a self-publishing course, he's based in Canada. So a lot of good stuff coming from there. So maybe I should consider moving.
I stay where you are.
Yeah. Okay.
The taxes here are ridiculous, but
Are they
that's oh, yeah, it's bad. It's
worse than
bad.
here?
You guys have some places where you can get away from the taxes, but it's
That
like,
is true.
yeah,
There's a
in
couple.
Canada, it's like just ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's how they can afford to have the free health insurance, right?
It's not free.
It's not free.
People think it's free. No, we pay for it through our taxes.
Yikes.
We just don't see it. That's the only difference is
Yeah.
when you don't see something, you assume it's free, but it's not because you're paying it in tax. This is completely off topic of what we're going, what we're doing, and why you're here. But
Yeah.
let's shift a little bit
Sure.
and
Shift gears.
get a little bit on topic.
Sure.
I always start off the podcast with asking these two questions of my guests. What first got you interested in starting All-Star Parents?
So All-Star Parent came out of an idea from I'm one of the co-founders, and it started by I as a parent, I have a daughter, she's 12, and a couple other friends, and they have kids. And one of the things we were frustrated about is that we have very little time as parents, and we're very strapped, and we have a lot of things we need answers to very, very quickly. And there's a ton of noise, resources, so many things out there. So it's like, where do you even begin, right? So it came out of frustration of or necessity, really, that we needed answers quickly and about topics around parenting. And so that's how All-Star Parent was born, out of the necessity to get the best parenting information very quickly, right? We don't have like days, weeks, months to just like read through books and books and books. We have particular issues, whether it's raising teens, toddlers, dieting, technology, any really there's it's a huge area, right? So there's so many things revolving around parenting, and we need answers quickly about a lot of different things. So we started taking all of the best thought leaders in the parenting space, all the top authority figures that are most well recognized and known. And we took their hour-long podcasts, or roughly an hour, and we broke them down into just like a 5-minute read, to make it super digestible, all the best meat and potatoes, and you get your answers quickly instead of spending countless time. You're getting it in a few minutes. So it's been a great resource for a lot of parents. It's free right now. At some point, it will there'll be like a subscription offering, but for now, it's free as we build it up and get more subscribers. But it's a phenomenal resource. Any parent listening, or you know of somebody who's a guardian or parent, or just wants to understand parenting better, it's a great resource. All-Star Parent.
That's very cool. And your speaking is also intertwined with All Star Parent.
No, it's actually separate. It's a totally separate venture. Public speaking is, I speak to individuals who are struggling to succeed in business, struggling mental health, people who don't believe in themselves, all things that I personally have struggled with. So that's more geared towards education and students, and in that area, that's really where my speech best fits in. And that's like, yeah, so it's totally separate from the All-Star Parent. But yeah, so they're two separate things, but also they're both very important to me.
Very cool. Very cool. Have there ever been any moments where you said, ah, enough is enough? I just want to focus on my job and just numb out and just be avy and just work towards my pension and then quote unquote retire?
Know, it's a great question because I was reflecting on this literally just yesterday. You've got the employee. If you want to be that employee where you have no worries, you spend 40 hours a week and you get your paycheck and you don't have worries. You just have a consistent income, relatively not huge stress. You know your job expectations, you can do it, and you make plans and you do things, and that's your life. And then there's the other side of it, which is being an entrepreneur. Now, as an entrepreneur, it sounds glamorous, but now somebody's not responsible for you anymore. Now you're responsible for yourself. You have your own responsibilities. You have to be fully accountable. You can't go one day and say, "Ah, I need somebody to like rely on." No, you have to rely on yourself, and you have to accept the consequences that if things go wrong, you hit roadblocks, that you and only you are responsible. And yes, you can grow it and get it bigger, but that's provided it's successful. Most startups aren't successful. They don't make it. Even if you get funding, it's really hard, and it requires a lot of work, innovation, ingenuity, and collaboration. And so being an entrepreneur is a lonely journey because you don't have other people, guiding you and directing you and that are responsible for you. You're responsible for yourself, and that can cause a lot of stress. And it has for me. But if you can make it as an entrepreneur, oh my God, that is like an amazing feeling. It requires a ton of work and accountability and responsibility. It's a trade-off, though. I have a venture that did work out, and I did put in a ton of blood, sweat, and tears. But when it actually starts generating passive income for you, wow, that's like such a huge accomplishment. You get to look back at all your work visually, or depending on what it is. But like for me, book publishing, right? I can see what I've created, right? And that is an amazing feeling. But sometimes I do think, man, this is a lot of stress. Can I take a break from this? And you can't. Once you're in, you either have to decide if you're in or out, right? You can't ha go halfway in. You can't half-ass it. You have to be all in or not all in. And for me right now, and it's not always the case. Sometimes you can do both. Like I have a full-time sales role, and I also do other stuff. And that's not easy either, because now I'm balancing multiple different things, and they're all important to me. But it's a juggling act, and it comes down to what's important to you and your willingness. But for me, when back to your question, if I spent my whole life, what ha ends up happening is people spend their whole lives in a 9 to 5, and then 10 years, 15, 20 years later, sure, they have like their pension or whatever, and they get their social security, but like you look back on your life and it's like, what did I actually do? I spent my whole life working to make somebody else's dream come true. Like, is that, man, I wish I had done that differently. And I don't want to have that regret. I don't want to go and like, yes, the stress is real and I feel that, but it's worthwhile to me 100%. I'm more work concerned about not having tried than I've tried and failed. At least I gave it a shot, because it's so rewarding when you do your own thing and you can see it and it's yours and people get value out of it. It's like, man, that to me is like the greatest thing, even despite how hard it is. Wow, it is such a great feeling.
I know firsthand how that feels firsthand. Having a fitness company failed twice, thinking that this podcast is ready to fail, it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to live with on a day in, day out basis. Not, you know, nobody's listening. You all these negative, bad thoughts start coming into your head, and you're like, whoa, what's going on here? It feels like I'm failing. But how important do you see failure being a part of somebody's life?
Oh, it's vital. And as a society, we do give it that label. Failure is bad. You failed. It's bad. It's something you don't want. But there's two ways of looking at it, right? It's not a one-way street. Failure, the way I perceive it, it's part of the process of learning and achieving success, and through trial and error. Life is one long ongoing boxing match. Losing one round or failing at something does not make you a failure for your entire life. But that's a notion many of us, like myself, at one point had, where it's like, I failed at this, damn, onto the next thing. But there's something else that I saw recently that I really, really liked. Fail stands for first attempt in learning. End stands for effort never dies, and no stands for next opportunity. So it's all how we look at it, right? Everybody fails, and we learn from that failure. And that is the important point of it. It's not that it's not just looking at it face value. It's understanding that we learn through failure, right? Everybody goes through it. Even, Muhammad Ali got knocked down and lost by Joe Frazier. And he's, one of the greatest boxers of all time. So everybody gets knocked down, but it's about getting back up and persevering, because that, and maybe some things we fail at and we say, hey, I gave this a fair shot, and I'm on to the next thing, right? Because I don't like this, or it's not working, and I've put in a lot of time. Because if we sacrifice something and give it our whole life, like, we don't want to look back and regret, like, that just wasn't for me. Because that's about balancing realism with optimism. And I talk about that as a speaker, right? Because I have done things way too long where I ended up not getting, I plateaued, and I hit this threshold, this limit, and I couldn't get past it. And it's like, okay, am I willing to sacrifice the rest of my life doing this, or am I just gonna cut ties and onto the next thing? And oftentimes it's a great decision, and I find something a lot better. So it's not so cut and dry. It's not so obvious. It's a gray area, but you kind of have to decide for yourself and gauge when you've given it your all, and either accept that it's a pursuit not worthwhile, or you want to give it some more time, or however it is, you have to make. We all have to make that decision for ourselves.
So it's almost like having like blind trials kind of thing. Like saying, okay, you know what, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna see how it works and see if it sticks. So it's all that kind of leads into another question that I want to ask you. That like I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I geek out on Star Wars on a daily basis. It's one of my things. I'm wearing the Millennium Falcon t-shirt.
Nice.
So, and it's something that Yoda actually says to Luke Skywalker, do, there is no try. How true do you believe that saying to be?
I think it's it rings very true, and it makes me think of somebody else. It makes me think of Bruce Lee, and I can't even think of he has a lot of different quotes. One of them is like, be like water. Don't like so. And to that same point, what you just said, it's like, yeah, there you have to do, and you don't know what doing is going to result in. That's an unknown destination, but you're moving towards it. You're putting in effort, right? And so there has to be effort, and there has to be, you can't know until you start doing it, right? You can talk about it, you can dissect it, you can analyze, and you can prepare, but if you don't start at some point, you'll never go anywhere. So that's what that means to me, and that is extremely important, because oftentimes, especially somebody like myself who has perfectionist tendencies, I waste a lot of time trying to prepare myself and brace myself. And that's like true of like speaking, right? Nobody ever becomes a perfect speaker, right? We're all reaching for self-actualization. I was on another podcast and we talked about self-actualization as it's not a destination. You don't reach that ever. You just strive towards that always. You're constantly improving. You're better than the person you were yesterday. It's a constant improvement. It's not about reaching a destination. And so that's what that means to me. It's like you put in the effort, you just do it, and then it will reveal to you. You'll get the feedback. You'll understand where you're at, and you'll be able to gauge how to move on onwards and upwards, or what direction you need to go in based upon how that goes.
So it's like try and expect to fail.
I mean, you don't expect to fail. Like, that's just a possibility that could happen, right? Like when I threw axes the first time, I had no expectation that I was going to win, and I wasn't anywhere near the top. Quite to the contrary, I was actually ranked towards the bottom, and I didn't go in being like, "Hey, I'm gonna fail." I came in, I have no expectations, and I'm just gonna do my best. I'm gonna savor the competition. I'm gonna enjoy the competition, and I ended up winning that night. But I didn't go in expecting to fail. I went in optimistic that I could win, but I may not win. But I didn't go in expecting to fail. But it's a very there's always that chance, right? So yeah, that mindset is an important one to note. Like we don't want to go in like expecting to fail, but if we do, we accept that and we look for the lessons to learn to come back harder and stronger for the next time around.
There's so much to unravel there, so much to unravel. Because something like that actually it shows their hand, and if people keep doing stuff that are hard, that's hard for them, they may keep failing in over and over and over and over, and they may get this mindset that, you know what, life's giving me this bad hand right now. And it's very tough for somebody who's already in that situation to help them get out of it. First and foremost, is there such thing as life dealing you a bad hand?
Absolutely. And somebody I want to note that was a huge inspiration to me, that gave me a ton of direction from one of his books is David Goggins. And he wrote the book Can't Hurt Me. And as somebody who has like struggled in that area, who felt like I have nothing to offer to the world, I don't know what I'm good at, I don't believe in myself, like that is part of my bad hand, right? I look at we and we all have a card we're dealt with when we come into this world, right? And but the point is isn't about like the cards that we're dealt with. It's how we play the hand, right? So even like for me, like part of my bad hand is I was diagnosed with a major depressive disorder and bipolar disorder type one. Now, at looking at the face, these look like really bad things, but I learned how to play them better. And by that I mean when I reflect on these conditions that I can't escape and they're with me for life, and I do treat them, I also look at them in a different way. I look at them as depression has taught me gratitude for the people in life that make me happy, even on days when I feel down. And for bipolar, when I feel manic, I've learned to channel that energy into good things. So they look bad from the outside looking in, but if we look at these a different way, or we play these a different way, I'm taking that negative energy and I'm siphoning it and channeling it into something positive, like public speaking, like my All-Star Parent newsletter, like other projects that I have that are helping me grow as a person. So, yes, we all have a bad hand. And you know what? We need to look at that hand, because if you suppress it or you try to abandon it, it doesn't escape you. You can't escape it. You have to accept it. You have to look at it in the face. Literally write them down, write them out. I wrote them out and I look at them every day. And I think to myself, how am I going to cope with these things, to overcome them, to overcome adversity? Because every great person like David Goggins had to overcome those things which stay with us since a child. He refers to them as an inner child. And also Lisa Haisha, who wrote the book Soul Blazing, she also talks about our inner child, which is kind of similarly correlated to the bad hand there. That's slightly different. That's more about like the masks that we put on to either to deal with the things that sabotage us, or we can use as a superpower. So for me, one of my masks is the overthinker. So I overthink things a lot, right? And I'm trying to still work through that and figure that out, how to not let that sabotage me and how to use that as a superpower, right? But there's a lot of different ones. And so having the self-awareness, right, of the bad hand, of our inner child, to have that self-awareness so that we can figure out how to overcome these adversities is what's key.
You said, first and foremost, David Goggins is not a human being.
No, he's not.
He's not human. Yeah, he's just like next level, like human.
Yeah, I could never hang with somebody like him, but like as like his methodology and his thinking is brilliant.
Oh,
And
yeah.
he, I mean, especially from where he came from to where he's at now, like it's just brilliant. And he's helped me to get through some rough patches, right? And bad things in my life. And so he gives the guidance that you don't have to be in the military or a Marine just to do that. You can be an ordinary person and still apply his principles and benefit it to have a better life for yourself.
Yeah. You said a couple things that I want to touch up on. Gratitude with depression. Now, from a man that suffers myself with depression on a daily basis almost, it's very tough for us to look at a sheet of paper and write down what you're grateful for. And I'm not talking about the constant great gratitude that you have for your friends, your family members, your nieces, your nephews, your kids, none of that. I'm talking about really grateful for and why you're grateful for them. What are some of the tools that you use to help you identify what you're really grateful for?
I think having somebody from the outside looking in can be very helpful, because I can relate to you when you say that, John, of like, I'm not saying it's a cakewalk or like it's easy to just like every day I can just write down some things to be grateful for and my depression goes away. That's not what I'm saying or suggesting. What I am saying though is that if we can find other people to say like, wow, it's really great that like you were born and you can use your hands, you can walk, you have these things. And it doesn't seem like that would be helpful, right? I get that, especially when we're frustrated and really struggling through something. Like some days it's like, no, I'm not going to be able or be in the right mindset to do that. And that's okay. It needs to be when I'm in a place where I can actually like have the headspace and be in an okay, not really mood, but just like in a mindset where I have the capacity to have an open mind that I can allow other people to tell me things that maybe I don't take the time to really think about. Like I have hands, I can walk, I can speak, I can hear, I can see. These are all things that like many people aren't able to do. And like, yes, when we think about our own stuff, it feels like, wow, nothing can be worse than this. Like, but like, it really could be worse. And until we take the time to really stop and think about the people who don't have the things that we have, that is where the gratitude actually happens. And it seems weird. Like, why would thinking of somebody else make me feel better about myself? But it just works. It does. And I'm not saying it's easy, and sometimes it is frustrating because it just feels like things can't possibly be worse than how we are right now. But even if we just push ourselves to write that down or have somebody else point these things out to us, the few things that we have that maybe other people don't, it can start to allow us to feel a little bit better in recognizing that we do have things that we can be grateful for, and that does cause some kind of reaction within us to feel even just a little bit better.
It's interesting because I've tried that before in my past. Like, try at the end of the day, write three things that I'm grateful for, and it almost felt like it's like constantly regurgitating what I said yesterday. It's like, well, this is, of course I'm grateful for my parents. Of course I'm grateful for my sister. Of course I'm grateful for my nephews. Of course I'm grateful for my friends. But it didn't feel like an honest answer. You know what I mean? And it's really tough for somebody who's suffering to really identify what are you truly grateful for today.
Yeah, so one more thing that just made me think of John is what I do that because right, it's so easy as a man that also has depression like you, it's so easy to get in that mindset of self-sabotage of like all the things that we don't have and like, yeah. It's great. And I totally get you. Like, yes, I have sisters and parents, but like that doesn't make me feel better right now. That doesn't help me to write it down. But what does help that is kind of along the same lines are the things that we do think about, but not enough, but are so important because we have them. They're inside of us and it happens all the time, but we just forget about them and we push them to the side. And those are what I'm talking about are the positive things that people say about us, right? Like when I speak publicly, people have that maybe I'm not even close to, which makes it even more meaningful to me personally. Avi, you really inspired me when you spoke. Wow, Avi, that was you did great in that game or whatever. It could be the smallest things, but when people take the time to recognize us for something positive, write those things down. Those are the things we should be looking at. I want to tell you, John, today, you have one of the best podcasts I've ever listened to. It's so meaningful to me, and I enjoyed being a guest on your show. You're a phenomenal host, and you make the podcasting space in this world a better place because of the people you bring and the positive impact you make. Though that is something powerful. And as an example, and I do mean that, and like things like that, when those things happen, it brings a smile to your face.
Yeah, it does.
And right? And and those are the things that we don't want to lose sight of. We want to write them down because it's so easy to forget them. I forget so many things. It's so easy. And we don't think to hang them up and look at them. But when we do, and we start creating a space, like literally in our own space where we're sitting, and we have like a card or just some words, like this card somebody just sent me, right? Like something like this, I could see just like throwing out in the trash. But it's somebody who is a student in my speaking class that I helped. I went out of my way to help her because we both have a bipolar disorder. And she said, Avi, thank you for all your help. But most importantly, thank you for your friendship. Love, Maria. Like, wow, this is so powerful. This card. I'm going to hang this up. I'm going to tape it to the wall behind my monitor so I can look at it every single day and be reminded of something that can bring even a little smile to my face to remind me that, like, yes, I still have the depression, but maybe this lifts me up just a little bit. Don't throw those cards out. Don't throw those memories out. Take those. You own them. Keep them forever. Let them validate you. Let them make you feel just a little bit better. And that can be really empowering and really set us on a positive path, a more positive path to just help us even just a little bit more.
That's really powerful. That is really powerful. It's super powerful. But we also have to be careful, like you said before. From one of those authors that you mentioned about the different types of masks people wear, and we wear them ourselves. And I'll never forget this story. I'll share with you and everybody out there listening. When I first moved back to Toronto, which I wasn't happy about, my sister called me and she's like, "Wow, John, you look really happy." I'm like, "No, this is just my fake face." And what I wanted and where I'm at are two very different places. So I have to pretend that that I have to put that happy mask on and pretend that I'm okay. How long can somebody last with these kinds of masks, which they know they're fake? They know deep down inside they're fake, but out of necessity, out of I guess the best word to say is necessity. How long is it possible to maintain that?
That's a great point you bring up, John. And I feel like most of my entire childhood consisted of that, putting on a happy face, which can be really, really damaging to ourselves as humans. Because right, it takes a lot out of us. It's exhausting. It's not reflecting ourselves, and it can lead to like unhealthy like behaviors and like just like have give us a lot of trouble in terms of like identifying who we are as people and being authentic, because so much of our time we've had to spend being unauthentic, right? With this fake smile. And I can very much relate to that. And so I think for me, one thing that's helped a lot is therapy. That's something that I'm not ashamed to say that benefits me. And I mean, when you think about it, right, there's a great analogy I like to make, because people immediately, when you say therapist or doctor, they think, oh, what's wrong with you? Like, you have to see somebody because there's something wrong with you. And that's just not the case. If you started a business and you had the option to have a business advisor who's been doing business for 30 plus years, or you could just do it by yourself with nobody to give you guidance, which one would you choose? Of course, you would choose the business advisor
Give me
it
the
would be,
business advisor.
yeah. So it the same thing applies to your mental health. If you had the option to have a doctor or a psychologist, a therapist, whatever, to guide you, it's the same thing. They're just like a business advisor, but for your mental health, which is just as, if not more important, right? Because if we don't have our health, we can't do anything else, right? So our health is like the number one most important thing. Otherwise, we can't do anything else. So think of the doctor, the therapist, as your business advisor for your mental health. So if we're having trouble like finding who we are, who our authentic selves are, this is a lot of stuff that is deep rooted from our childhood, right? And this isn't always fun, but it's the stuff that we need to go through so that we can start to rewire our minds to get us to a place, because it's something I've struggled with immensely. Like, who actually am I? Am I the person that's just trying to fit in or put a smile on my face because everybody else is, even though I feel like horrible right now? That can be a tough thing. And it can be even tougher to be vulnerable about, because you can't share it with everyone your vulnerabilities, right? That would be irresponsible, right? We need to have people that are in our corner that understand us, and we're not. Because not everybody's equipped to do it, right? Just like you can't walk up to anybody and be like, tell them your problems like they're a doctor. Not everybody's a doctor. So, and trying to act like one could be bad, could just be a really bad thing, right? So we need to know the people that we can trust that are in our corner, that are in a place to be able to give us help and guidance and advice. So that's one thing that I wanted to note about that. Yeah, it takes a lot of work, and it's not easy to do that for long term. And a lot of people do, myself included, and it's really, really hard. And I'm not saying there's an easy answer, but the more things that we can find that guide us towards finding our own authentic selves, and what that looks like is people that we can be around, which is why I mentioned therapist or doctor. People that we can be around that understand us, that know we have good intentions, and know that we mean well, know that we have a lot to offer, and we just need help, just like everybody needs help. Nobody makes it on their own through life without getting some form of help from somebody else, whether it's in business or with mental health. We need to try and recognize and build support systems for ourselves. That's so important.
You said something there about being vulnerable. It's a very hard thing for men to become vulnerable, because we're supposed to be viewed as the stoic rock, the person that has the answers to everything, no matter what it is. We know everything, which is just not the case. I mean, I haven't met a single person in this entire world that knows everything, and I've met a lot of men in this world that think that they know everything and they know nothing.
So true.
How does somebody identify that being vulnerable? And like you said before, there's different levels of vulnerability that you can share with certain people. How do you judge that for yourself, one? And two, how do you help somebody who thinks that they're supposed to be that stoic rock, that Mr. Encyclopedia, to say, you know what? It's okay to not know everything. It's okay to ask questions.
100%. And I think this all really ties into stigmatism, which there is a very big stigma about how men need to be, and that it's unmasculine, or it's somehow thought that by being tough and not showing any emotion ever, that somehow makes us strong. And quite the opposite. I think that's a form of weakness. It's irresponsible and it's dangerous. Vulnerability, according to Brené Brown, great thought leader. Vulnerability is not a weakness. Vulnerability is our most accurate measure of courage. To be vulnerable is to let ourselves be seen, to be honest. Vulnerability teaches you to persevere, and more importantly, vulnerability opens your eyes as to whom you should trust. You need to know your allies, and you need to know who your enemies. People that will listen without judgment and guide you towards the right path. And for men, that could be particularly challenging. And I listened to someone recently. I don't know if you've ever heard of the UFC. That's Ultimate Fighting Champion. It's a boxing thing. And so he had just won the match, and he said something that really took me by surprise, but like everybody applauded him. He said, "Look, there's a very big stigmatism, and it's about that men can't cry." Or that, men can't cry, it's not allowed. And he said, I would rather have a friend cry on my shoulder than be at his funeral and cry on somebody else's shoulder, right? There are things in this world that can bring a man to tears, whether it's a woman, whether it's a terrible situation. And to think that not showing emotion is a form of strength, it doesn't make sense, right? You can still be a man and cry, and that actually helps to recover and to become stronger. And so I would say to any person that thinks that it's a form of weakness to understand that you can still be a man and have situations that make you feel really low. And maybe that means you need to cry. And guess what? You're still a man. And because you did that, and because you're processing this instead of keeping it bottled in until it explodes, and that can manifest as having to go to the hospital or having a mental breakdown, instead of reaching that point, we're processing things as we should as human beings and getting through them rather than suppressing them. There aren't things in life that are good to suppress. That means we're holding something in. We're forcing it. We're forcing it, and it's unhealthy to do that. And so,
Interesting. The reason why I'm saying it's interesting is because I believe you, and I'm on your side on this, because this time last year I was introduced to a show on YouTube, on Facebook. I saw an ad on Facebook, and I started watching the show. And there's so many times where the characters in this show reflected me in different parts. And I actually broke down in the movie theater watching the season finale of season 3, because it was just so powerful, so powerful that I literally had my hoodie over my head and my shirt over my nose to hide myself from breaking down, because I could connect so much with what had led up to it. And my friend was sitting beside me, and he didn't say a word for me after. It was just, I know that there's men out there that think, you know, because I broke down, I showed a state of weakness. But it's the opposite, because it was the reflection of me seeing myself in the character on the big screen. So you think that it would have been okay for like me just to just in the movie theater?
You know, you bring up a great point, to be honest with you. I don't know if you heard in the news, but there was a man in New York who was a victim of a hate crime. He was listening to some music. I think it was like Beyonce, and a group of people approached him, and they told him to knock it off. And he stood up for himself and he defended himself. And then one of the people that were harassing him stabbed him and killed him. And he was pronounced dead at the hospital. And it was said that it was a hate crime. This man was gay, and he was stabbed because he was listening to a song by Beyonce. There's stigmatism, and it's a big issue. And I can't guarantee, like, if you had done that, that somebody wouldn't. Well, I'd imagine that that wouldn't happen, especially in such a place where like there's like an audience full of people. But I totally can relate to that feeling of like not wanting to see pe have people see you in that state, because I would have felt the exact same way, worrying if somebody saw me that they would treat me differently or make me feel bad for that or even attack me. Like it just happened in the news over this weekend. So I would say like this is a real stigmatism, and it's 100% fine that you did that, and you shouldn't have to hide that. This was something that was extremely moving and personal to you. And you know what? There's movies that are extremely moving, and by somehow the idea of suppressing those emotions is considered manly just is ridiculous. Being a man should be about being responsible, being accountable, being good for your word. There's so many other things that of to me that what it means to be a man, and they apply to women in the same way. We're just different genders, but it just to have these idea like old school ideas of what a man is and isn't is just it's just ridiculous to me. And I think that it's going to take more time before we're able to be our true selves and not have to worry about being shamed or put down because we don't hide our emotion. And it's really unfortunate, but I do know for a fact it's really unhealthy that men, the notion of what being a masculine man is in society and that stigma that's associated with it.
It's interesting because you said the old ways, the old line of thinking. But I can remember stories being I was raised Greek. I was raised Greek by, you know, so I know my ancestors, and I heard stories about, you know, this the 300 in Sparta, Thermopylae, Alexander. I grew up with stories of Achilles and in Troy. And Achilles is one of my favorite stories because he showed. For me, Achilles and Alexander showed me what a man should be. Fierce, vulnerable, have the ability to fight, but stand true to his word. I remember when Patroclus fought Hector and died, Achilles was in mourning, crying for his cousin who died. Alexander, you know, when he found out that some people died from him, from him, that were close to him, he cried. He would create games. That was part of our custom back then. But they showed their vulnerability. That's what made them true, strong leaders. So I find it interesting that you say that, you know, we have this historical backing of what a man should be, a stoic rock and thing, and this and that. And I believe you because I see it myself. But I have this other perspective where, yeah, you're supposed to be the strong stoic rock, but also you're supposed to be vulnerable to people you care about. Where do you think that this line of thinking has been skewed?
So I think, like you said, back to like 50, 100 years ago, right? We're spo there are assigned roles. A man is supposed to work. He has to bring in bring home the bacon, right? He's the one that is the worker. The mom is the one that stays home. She doesn't work. She takes care of the family. She cleans up. She does this and that. And this is just very old and outdated thinking. And to your point, like, love Greek and anthology, really amazing stories, and there's so much truth in them too, right? That I feel like is reflective of what a true man is, right? And it's currently society, men aren't supposed to be vulnerable, but we both know that the greatest Greek gods and warriors, they did have these traits. And they were much stronger because of it. And so I think it gets skewed in different cultures where it's expected that a man is supposed to fit a certain role. And I think things have gotten better over time. Now there are many single moms that they do all the work and they clean and they do a lot of other things too that don't fit into this idea of what the housewife should be, right? So I think over time that's going to change, and it is going in that direction. And I just think as more leaders arise, that's going to become more and more apparent. I just saw or read, I didn't see it, but there's like a Barbie movie, and it was produced by a woman, and it's going to be the first woman producer to reach $1 billion in sales or something like that is what I read. And you know, and there's so many incredible women defying what the old thinking is, right? So I think that trend is going to continue to happen. And I think it's also going to get more accepted and better for men as well, where we're in a place where where we have to live by these false notions. Which are somehow characterized as being a strong man. And ultimately, when we do reach that point, we'll have a much better society where we're empowered rather than being put down, right? So, yeah, I think it's going to just take time.
Okay, cool. And by the way, one of my favorite ancestors is Socrates, who asked so many questions he died in prison.
Yes, great philosopher.
Great philosopher, but sometimes when you ask too many questions, there's people who don't like
There
it.
always will be haters. They're never going to go away. But what's important to remember is that these haters are oftentimes have insecurities they project onto others to feel better about themselves. And I think that that is the core of what the hater is. And they won't fully go away, but that's okay. That's just nature, right, to some extent. But at some point, their voice and their power is disempowered, where now the majority see what a better and true way of going about things is. And instead of shaming or putting somebody down for asking questions, they're challenged to better understand rather than, you know, be afraid or, you know, try to silence others.
Yeah, for sure. Switching gears a little bit, you talk about something called the law of correspondence. What is that?
So the law of correspondence, author Brian Tracy wrote a book called Get Smart, and he suggests that successful people don't actually have super secret powers over everybody else. And he talks about the law of correspondence, which is law of correspondence indicates that the way we position ourselves internally will be reflected externally. So, for example, if you perceive yourself to be worthy, hardworking, and an asset to the world, you'll find yourself succeeding. So, in other words, don't dress for the job you have, but for the job that you want. It's a really great methodology that just really clicked with me and makes so much sense, right? Our internal beliefs shape so much of how we are in our life externally, right? So, what we tell ourselves, right, like we were discussing before, the narrative we tell ourselves has a very profound impact in our daily lives.
Very cool. Very cool. We're coming up close to the end of the show, and these are the 10 questions that I ask all my guests, and I just want your perspective on these 10 topics. With the increase in people suffering from depression for the past 3 years of uncertainty that we've lived through, what's the one thing that you could tell them to keep their hopes up?
I would say there's always a light at the end of the tunnel, and I know that that's cliche and everybody hears that, but it's true. And that's coming from someone that I myself have spent what feels like an eternity going through a tunnel and feeling like there's no hope. But there is hope, and there really is light at the end of the tunnel, and time does heal all. And even when things are hard, to remember that there are people in the world who care, and that you are worthy of love and belonging, and you have the purpose, and that's why you're here. And things are going to change for the better. You just need to keep sticking with it, and you will get there, even if it doesn't look like it's in sight. Oftentimes, we never realize how close we are to reaching our goals. So stick with it. It's worthwhile.
Very good message. Very good message. What's the one thing that you do daily that amplifies your ability to stay focused?
I keep track of, well, one is practicing mindfulness, right? That's something that's important. Yeah, let me make that point. So Amishi Jha is a neuroscientist and author of the book Peak Mind, and she talks about mindfulness. What she says is that practicing mindfulness by meditating for just 12 minutes per day, 5 days per week, for just a total of 1 hour, not only strengthens attention, but also leads to overall improved brain health and well-being. We lose about 50% of our attention in daily life. So mindfulness is so important to keep us productive, on track, and in a good state of mind.
If you could pick up the phone right now and call yourself at 20 years old, what would you tell yourself?
Be open to new ideas. Don't be afraid of other don't be afraid of other people. Realize that people need help, and be willing to be open-minded and more helpful to people that need it. This world needs more empathy, and I should open my heart more to being more empathetic to people that may need it.
Looking back, would you change anything?
Yes, I probably would have wanted to get into foster care and out of my family. As far away from my family as possible. Not to bash them, but I think I would have done a lot better in foster care.
What's more important to a man, his word or his purpose?
His Well, they kind of coincide with each other. Being good for your word is they're both equally important, but in different ways. If you're good for your word, you'll build stronger and healthy relationships. If you're not good for your word, you'll distance everybody away from you and with people who don't trust you and won't speak well of you. You need to find your purpose so that you can have your why and meaning in life. If you don't have a purpose, you will never be happy in life.
What scares you?
The leaders of this country and our administrations from the previous, most
Wow.
notably, that worries me about this world and the direction we're going in.
But
And
you can't control the leaders.
we can't, but we can bring better leaders and have a better rippling effect in other areas to maybe influence at the highest level things going in a better direction, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Where do you see your business, All-Star Parent, and your speaking business in the next 5 years?
Doing very well. I expect by then to for both of them to really have matured into full-fledged businesses, both of them independently making big positive good change in the world and flourishing and thriving and doing very well.
How about you personally? Where do you see yourself personally in the next 5 years?
I don't have a crystal ball, but I'd like to think that I do speaking, public speaking regularly. Maybe I find the love of my life. I have a good relationship with my daughter. I'm doing work and have projects that are meaningful to me. Playing more sports, spending time with friends and family.
Where can people find more about you?
Just connect, reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's just my name, Avi Wolfson. And then also check out All Star Parent. It's allstarparent.substack.com. And again, the best way really is I do all my connecting and networking from LinkedIn. So just reach out to me there. You can find me by searching Avi, AVI, Wolfson, WOLFSON on LinkedIn.
Cool. And we will post all your links in the show notes so everybody has easy access to you and all your content.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, John.
No problem. Any final thoughts?
No matter where you are in your journey, just realize that you are good enough. I know for a long time I myself questioned and kind of had we as we talked about earlier, having that inner voice, it's just so easy to self-sabotage. But to recognize that you're on this world, in this world for a reason, and you have a purpose. And if you don't know what that purpose is yet, to keep searching because you will find it. You will find what makes your heart beat and what your purpose is. And you'll do that by keep trying different things. Don't ever stop exploring. Keep looking. You will find it. Everybody is good at something. You'll find what it is that you're good at, and that's meaningful to you and gives you joy and happiness. And that's why we're all here on this earth.
Avi, thank you so much for coming on the show. It really does mean a lot to bring on somebody who's going through what I go through on a daily basis, to have an honest conversation with them. You and I can both, while our pasts are completely different, we can both sympathize with each other of how hard the struggle is, and for you to be able to turn it into something productive. Something to go through all that hell, all that crap, and turn it into something positive. It really speaks to the kind of man that you really are, which is a good man and someone who wants good in this world. So I applaud you for that, and I thank you for the courage that it takes for you to come out and speak about that. So thank you so much for that.
Such an honor. Thank you so much, John. I really appreciate it.
Going through hard times is just a test. What you need to know is that when you get out of whatever you're going through, you will be stronger than ever before, and you don't need to go through it alone. Always know that you are not alone. Stay tuned for more real people with amazing stories that are just like yours. Until then, to everyone out there listening, I wish you a good morning, good afternoon, or good night wherever you may be in this crazy world.
Hey guys, John from Resilient Reboot Productions and the Fitness Oracle. I just wanted to thank you for watching this episode, and I really do hope that you enjoyed it. Please don't forget to subscribe, hit that bell, and share this episode if you are watching this on YouTube or on Rumble. If you are listening to this on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Breaker FM, or whatever streaming service that you may be using, please give us a 5-star rating and a positive review, as it will help us reach out to more people that are suffering from mental health issues. Now, if you haven't done so already, I am offering access to a free weekly newsletter that we send out every Sunday, and it's jam-packed with podcasting tips and health and wellness tips to keep you balanced in the podcasting and content creating space. So if you haven't done so already, sign up to this free newsletter. It's totally free, and it also gives you access to the Fitness Oracle private community in Mighty Networks, where we talk about this episode. We talk about how you have implemented these lessons that you've picked up in your life and how it's impacted your life. And we are working on a lot of great other programs and support systems for you guys to be able to access. So if you haven't done so already, sign up to the newsletter, and I'll see you guys on the inside.